Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Which one?
Film 7.
Film 7, which is Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Yes.
Part 1. Yeah, Dan's here again.
Hello.
There he is.
Yeah. Here I am.
Oh, God, I'm really sorry. I'm trying to focus, but I need to pee again so bad.
Oh, shit. Should we have a
I'll be
break?
As quick as I can.
All right, well, I think we've earned ourselves a little break. Okay, are we all good?
Yeah, I can't remember what we was talking about.
Anyone else need to go for a wee before we leave?
Ugh, we're going to be gone a long time, I think. These movies are fucking long.
I watched mine on double speed again.
Did you not watch...
What?
Wait, what did you say?
I said I watched mine on double speed again.
Oh, okay, sorry. I thought you said I watched one and then... Like, as if you didn't watch the other one. Because we recorded... Like, because we're recording these back to back, obviously, but...
Yeah.
The people at home don't need to know that, I guess.
Movie magic. Yeah, I watched it on 1.5 speed.
Yeah, so it wasn't double speed.
I make that rookie mistake every time. I should.
Yeah,
I should do that.
So I find it, there are certain points where you can kind of you can tell when you initially increase the speed, and then there are certain points where you're like, oh yeah, the movement looks kind of funny, but your brain kind of tunes into the slightly higher speed, and you sort of forget.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is like how we listen to the audiobooks on double speed.
Yeah.
And now...
Oh my God, it sounds like...
If we go back to listening to it on normal speed, it sounds... God, it sounds like he's inhaled
like
Freon.
Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Are you sure he didn't buy the tape that was for special needs kids or something?
He bought the special slow edition.
Yeah.
So we open up with old fucking Bill Nighy and his accent.
Oh, yeah.
I told you it's shit. These are the dark days. That's all I could think.
I know, and you're still doing Scottish.
That's how it fucking sounds.
It is Welsh, right?
It's Welsh, yeah.
Okay.
Right, your dad's Welsh, right? Does he sound like your dad?
My dad's lived in England so long, he's lost his accent years ago. But, like, he... Never sounded.
It's just
anything
the R.
Like.
It's just you're putting a Scottish rolled R in there. It's
okay.
These are dark times.
These are dark times.
Oh, and the Thames.
That's what he said. He says Thames.
I don't think he does.
Has anyone put this?
He fucking says Thames.
Open it up to a poll. Thames, does he or does he not say Thames?
These are dark times, Harry. I'm Pony Priestley.
Oh, God. Yeah, and then we have, like, fucking a wasted montage, I feel, of them saying goodbye to everyone.
Yeah.
And there's this amazing cutscene of Petunia in the living room when it's empty, and then Harry says something to her, and she's like, that night, you didn't just lose a mother. I lost a sister. It's really, like... Really like a poignant, like, oh yeah, she's like a human being and stuff. And they cut all of that for this super quick, like...
Okay, so this is a really good point, because as we have established very clearly at this point, I've not read the books from 6 onwards. Five onwards. So the intro to this makes very little sense to me.
Ah, yeah.
And like, if you're... They've abandoned him in this house, basically.
Well, yeah, like in the book, it's that they want to move the Order of the Phoenix want to move the Dursleys to a safe house, and so that when Harry does leave and the charm that protects him there breaks, they're not in danger,
right?
So once like all this was over, they would have been moved back and stuff. But yeah, we don't get any of that explanation or anything in the thing.
No, we get a brief line in as part of the montage of Dudley's voiceover going, "I don't understand why we have to go," and Vernon going, "Because it's not safe for us here."
Oh, okay. I probably missed that one.
But you could have just had a line from
could
someone.
Could have just had like a ba 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 and just like a scroll like a Star Wars prologue.
Oh, God, give me Star Wars over this any day. Honestly.
I was going to say, instead we get the whole thing with Hermione obliviating her parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Obliviates them good.
She obliviates them good.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they wondered after that, why the hell have we got all these empty picture frames up on our mantelpiece?
You know, David Yates directs this. Mm-hmm. I think he's done a better job than the people who came before him, but I still think that it's fucking wretched.
Yeah. Wretched. Yeah. Excellent.
But I'm so conflicted about all this because it's the production values are so high, and I think a lot of the costume and the set design, and like we were talking about before, the sound design and editing is all like top notch, and he's done a great job with the material that he's been given. But that's the fucking problem. The material is just like the screenplay is trying to fit in so many things, yeah. And it just can't juggle all these balls at the same time.
Yeah, too many balls.
Too many balls.
I would say I felt like these films take like they have more like breathing space in them. It still tries to cram a lot in, but having been split up into two films, they've got slightly more room to breathe between scenes, it feels like.
Absolutely. But
I actually think that's part of the problem though.
Oh yeah?
Because I think that because they knew they had two films, they tried to tell as faithful an adaptation as they could. But I think the problem with that is that they hadn't done that with the previous films. So a lot of these sort of like
references they make to the book stories.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't in the previous films, but they make it a thing in these films. But and then also because they do try to do that, they still can't manage it all. So they do try and shoehorn lots in, which is trying to be faithful to the book, but is actually irrelevant because it hasn't been established in prior films. So they actually could have done a good job of just like scissoring like everything in this film and removing all the guff and just keeping like a very like simple storyline.
Amen.
That doesn't have all like the little bits around it, which are like Easter eggs in the book kind of thing, because I actually think that would have made a better film, which might not, I think for like diehard fans at the time, they might have been a bit like, ugh, but I think watching it now, you'd be like, ah, oh, that was actually a really wise.
Would have made a better film given the films that have given what had come before it.
Yeah, could have done it, I think. Yeah, so like, yeah, so we move into like the Voldemort dinner and stuff.
Yeah.
And what I like to call a wig party, because everyone has very obvious hair, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, look at penis thickness. And he's a...
Penis thickness. Yeah. Got a lovely Cirque du Soleil act happening at one end of the table.
Hold on, which bit are we talking about here?
When he's having dinner. Not dinner.
The Volder table.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
And
fucking,
I don't know about
boring,
you guys. I think Lucius, before he gets, like, too overly haggard at the end, but with his slightly, like, buttoned-down look, pretty sexy.
Oh, God, Lucius at every moment in time.
Yeah. he's a great actor, too. What's his name again? He was in...
Jason Isaacs.
Yeah. Yes.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
I got one.
Look at Tom.
But yeah, so I'm buttoned down, slightly ruffled look with a bit of face grizzle.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'll have a bit of that.
So this scene at the table, I'm a convert to what you've been saying all along, Gifton, about Voldemort and Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
He fucking sucks as Voldemort.
I'm
converted after watching these two movies, because everything is supposed to come to a head in these movies, and we're supposed to see, or at least movie like history and logic would dictate that we are supposed to see like the villain be villainous, and I just don't feel it at all.
He does kill a room full of people.
I suppose that's
in the script, and it's his delivery is, I guess, what you're calling into question.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, lots of villains kill people.
I don't feel scared by
him. That's true.
Yeah, I want...
Like, yeah, you killed the whole room full of people, but like, eh.
Yeah, but I don't believe you, you know? Yeah. I don't. Everything he does is a bit like, I don't know, he's shit. He was good in that one film. Anyway.
He's just kind of mince. it's just a bit like they've made him look like Nosferatu, and...
Nosferatu had no lines, and he was like scarier than fucking this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, God, just him and, yeah. But I do, yeah, I like all the sexy Jason Isaac and Alan Rickman doing eye acting.
Yeah. Yeah. Seems like the more power Snape gets, like the longer he leaves between phrases.
Yeah, and the longer his hair grows. And the smoother his face gets.
Oh, yeah, that's... I'm glad someone else noticed that.
So fucking Seven Potter scene and fucking
yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you and I agree on this. Yeah.
What's
so
this?
Fucking like the introduction of like the tertiary cast members and like
oh right yeah
fucking so right so we can get like the Bill and the Fleur bit out of the way. It was like, all right, I'm Bill, I'm a big deal in the
yeah
books,
man
blah,
like
blah.
Fucking somehow this film even manages to turn Domhnall Gleeson into a shit actor.
Yeah, and he's great.
Yeah,
but it's do you remember that ages ago I said that Ron's bit where he gives a speech, he does the best with it he can, but it was shitly written and stuff. And I think that's what the problem is. Everything's badly written because they just try. They didn't have to give this whole backstory to him in that moment. The whole bit when he's like, oh yeah, look at me scar. It's courtesy of Fenrir Greyback. It's like, no one's looking at your fucking scar, mate.
He did. Yeah, that didn't need to happen at all.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's fucking... it's fan service. So much of this movie is fan service.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest issue.
It's... And if you... That's kind of a problem with these movies as a whole, as someone who's not read the books. It's like, they're not written in a way that is comprehensible to someone who's never been in that universe before.
It's not written as a movie script, I don't think. You know?
Like... Do you know what? What I really noticed... There?
Someone's got a
it was written as an IKEA instruction manual.
So I was like, put this typewriter in front of Stevie Wonder and see what happens.
He's just written a jazz chord progression.
In C minor.
Oh, fucking hell.
He's so multi-talented. But what a thing I noticed about the script is that there's... I never quite noticed this in previous films, but there's so much cutting into... other characters cutting into other characters' lines and finishing their sentences.
Oh God, yeah.
So like, you know, someone will say, "Why haven't you?" And then another person will butt in and say, "Why haven't I given up yet?" Or like, you know, whatever. Like someone will cut in, and it feels so unnatural and so jarring, and just sounds like actors reading from a fucking script.
Yeah, I know.
Like people don't do that in like natural conversation.
Yeah, I found there was like a bit of like often Ron would have a line to say after someone's line. I thought no one would say that in real life. Like, there's a bit in the second one where Hermione tries to, like, Accio the cup. And then he goes, oh, you're not going to try that again, are you? She just did it. Yeah. Oh, fucking hell. But, yeah, Heliothorpe Buffins comes in wearing a crown and a fucking sack of potatoes over her.
Oh, is this...
And Lupin's like, ah, something, something. And she's like, yes. My husband, the Joker, and it's like,
fuck off.
Oh, fuck off, you fucking abortion woman.
Jesus Christ. You mistake of a human being.
And then she says, God. But wait till you hear the news, and then says the news.
But wait till you hear the news. And I did. You can tell. Oh gosh, she was so happy to have those fucking lines.
I didn't pick up on how rubbish she was in the previous movies, but you're right. In this one, it's just terrible.
Well, this is it. I've never had a huge problem with her in previous movies either. Gifton's had a like death. Gifton's wished death upon her from the beginning, but I've never had a huge problem with her in previous movies either. But in that scene, I was like, oh god.
Yeah. I mean, he's wished no one's... death upon her.
Yeah.
But yeah, just everything she does in this entire fucking both films, every time she's on screen, I just want to like vom in my underwear and sit in it. Like,
wow.
Oh, God. Fucking hell, yeah.
Oh, so she gets you super hot, yeah?
Yeah. So what, you're really erect? What's going on?
Oh, I can just imagine that to do that scene like 20 fucking times, because every time she spoke, fucking Lupin actor was just like, fuck. And they're like, we can hear you.
It's like, sorry, I just need a minute. I'll be in my trailer. I'll just give it.
I imagine they had to, I bet they had to CG his mouth shut.
Yeah.
Like, this is taking too long. Conversely, though, Daniel Radcliffe's best performance in this one and the next one, I think.
Yeah, relatively speaking.
Relatively speaking.
I mean, yeah, as per usual, his chin fucking deserves an Oscar. The way it just interjects in every scene. It's like, oh, look at that. Look at those teeth working. But opposite of that, I thought fucking Emma Watson was brilliant in these films. I thought she was really, really good.
She sold
everything she said, I thought.
Yeah.
And I was like, you can tell she's been fucking doing her lessons.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Acting on the whole, I think, from the children.
Yes.
Improved.
For sure.
Markedly.
Apart from Ron, he's kind of stayed at a very consistent level since film one, I think.
I don't know. I think in the earlier films, he has much more of a like comic book over exaggerated facial reactions to a lot of things. Whereas I don't know, the nature of the story at this point, I guess he has to be a little bit more of a serious character and do some actual, you know, acting. But yeah, speaking of lines being delivered, we get the later on, we get the scene with like Harry zipping up her dress, which just, but then I think the best delivered line in the whole film is George's line where he's off screen and we hear morning, and it doesn't sound like his voice. It was so like funny and hit the joke really well that I'm convinced it might have been dubbed by someone else.
Oliver Reed, dude.
I actually think the whole scene was just like improvised. I think that Bonnie Wright showed up and set it, and she was like, "I've got an idea, guys.
Look, I'm not wearing a bra.
Yes, look. I'm just going to come on set in a tea towel and then unwrap it in front of Daniel Radcliffe and he's going to twizzle my knobbles." And I say, I love your lightning shaped scar. And he'll say, I love your lightning shaped scar.
Why are they having a fucking wedding when they know that the Dark Lord is out there?
Also, their house is fine. Got like fully blown up less than a year ago.
That's because Molly's had a fucking year of not working again. Yeah.
She's been on that wizard doll.
That's probably what they call it.
The wizard doll, yeah.
Gotta sign on for the wizard doll.
With the whole wedding bit, I really hated the like Luna and her dad dancing moment. To the point that it almost like spoiled that entire like scene for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because I can tell that there was like, oh, make up a dance, and that's what they came up with, and I was like, fuck you.
This, I must have just blanked out because I do not remember how they
didn't do the girl
this.
Power sign once.
I was just like, this looks like an awful wedding.
It really does. It's quite grim. I'd imagine if you're having that wedding, no one is having a good time.
Yeah.
They're all there going, when
you're
are we going to get
dancing
fucking attacked?
Like they're on the fucking, in like the basement of the Titanic. And it's like, fuck off with your jigs and shit.
Yeah.
I'm so mad about it.
But it is. It's like awful.
So, do you know, right? So I got a point. One thing I thought was way fucking off throughout both of these films is like the pacing of like tense moments. So when we get the bit where the Patronus lands and says they're coming and shit, that's a really scary moment in the book, and it has like the weight that you kind of would want it to have. But in this, it takes so fucking long for the thing to speak and then for anything to happen around it that all the sort of like oh fuckness about it, I didn't feel like it was. I think it would have been better if fucking Kingsley himself had just like appeared in the tent and been like, the ministry has fallen, they're coming.
There was very little oh fuckness.
Yeah.
I would give anything for Ben Kingsley in this movie. Is that what we're talking about? I don't know who we're talking about.
But yeah, it's Kingsley's voice.
He appears in his Gandhi costume. He's like, the ministry has fallen.
And everyone's just like pulling their collars going, oh. Oh.
Everyone's like hiding the salt shakers. Oh, God. Sorry.
Sorry, cut you off, Tom. What were you going to say?
I don't know.
Oh, God. Yeah, so when they fucking like, go to Tottenham Court Road and Hermione is in a red dress, and I thought the dress is pretty.
Yeah, Hermione's officially hot now as well.
Yeah, she looked all right in this film, I thought.
This looks way too nice to be Shaftesbury Avenue, though. Like, I don't know if you've been down there in the last 12 months, but it's a shit show. And it looked very, like, tarted up. Because you just said Tottenham Court Road, but I'm pretty sure she says, oh, this is Shaftesbury Avenue.
Yeah.
Is it Tottenham Court Road in the book?
It might be.
Because we said Tottenham Court Road.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason. I can't remember why.
We figured out from movie 5 or 6 that the entrance to Diagon Alley that Harry and Hagrid use is behind. Right off Leicester Square, which is right next to Tottenham Court Road. So was it to do with that?
No, because she said the same reason in the book. She was like, oh, I remember this. My parents used to take me here when I was a kid, and it just popped into my head.
Yeah, I guess maybe they just used Shaftesbury Avenue in the film. It's a more famous road name.
Yeah, but everyone fucking knows, like, the advertisement wall that's there.
Yeah.
That's, like, world famous, so maybe that's why as well.
Wait, that's Piccadilly Circus.
But that's where they are. They see the lights.
That's where all those roads meet, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, sorry. That's right. That's where Shaftesbury Avenue begins. Sorry, my bad.
It's right off Leicester Square, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, it's where it starts.
Class dismissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so get fucking the canteen scene. Not the canteen scene.
Greasy spoon, mate.
Yeah.
That fucking waitress must have a hearing impairment as well as wearing headphones. That fucking place blows up around her and she is happily making that cappuccino.
Yeah, what? And it's also terrible customer service.
Oh, yeah. But also, if I was awful. Working at fucking like 11 o'clock on like the graveyard shift at a shitty cafe,
in a greasy
I'd be
spoon,
the same.
Yeah,
probably. I mean, I guess they're not like a 5-star customer service provider, are they? Oh, yeah.
She roofies the cafe girl, doesn't she? She's like... what's the roofie spell?
Obliviate,
yeah.
Also, like, one of like a super dumb line, I think, is when they debate whether to kill the Death Eaters or not, which I like. And then they say, let's just wipe their memories, and Ron goes, you do it, Hermione, you're the best at spells.
I thought that was dumb too.
You're the best at spells, so everything.
I mean, she is, though, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, but like...
You can play. Hermione, you dispel your good at things. And they're like, I am, Ron. I am good.
I have him plug the slow version of the audiobook halfway through. Yeah, so they go to fucking Grimmauld Place.
That's Sirius's home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. At this point that I'm like, holy shit, this film is so grey. Like...
I mean, personally, I like that. I liked the whole sort of like...
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily against it, but it's fucking bleak. Like, the whole colour palette is very muted.
I sort of like that every film has a signature gradient.
It does, absolutely.
And I think it kind of suits the tone, personally. Like, I liked that. It kind of told me how to feel.
I mean... That's kind of what it's doing.
I need instructions. I'm not good at feeling feelings.
The whole, like, creature bit. He didn't need to be in this film. I really thought, that's a bit dumb. Harry's very, like, aggressive with him. And I was like, there's nothing in the film to say why you should be this way with him.
Yeah, and also we don't have the moment of creature's loyalty being made clear towards Harry.
I reckon it would have been better if there were no house elves in this film.
Yeah.
Because I fucking hate house elves. I mean,
you see Dobby point, die.
We do see Dobby die. That's when I paused it. I closed the blinds. I lighted a candle.
Watch Luna close his eyes.
What does Dobby... Oh, no. Do you know what? We'll get to Dobby in a bit. I do have questions about Dobby, but I feel like we should talk about them when we get to that appropriate moment.
Death Eaters come on the train. And Neville stands up, wipes himself down and says, oi, losers, they're not here.
Yeah, this was like a minute of like film time which could have been spent elsewhere.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
There's lots of that. There's like film time which is spent on fucking like stylistic choices which could have been spent on substantial choices, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, fucking just explaining shit, then he's explaining instead of having like a pretty fucking bit of smoke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, or one spunk. The fucking ectoplasm, man.
Do you know what I thought you said? I thought you said mum spunk. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, the bit with Mrs. Weasley. Whoa.
She is especially like rumptious in this film. I
rumptious. Rumptious.
Like, you kind of want to give her a cuddle. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think
I thought so.
Get that home smell. Bisto.
Oh, fucking hell. Stir that in a figure of eight. fucking hell, what happens after this?
They go to the ministry.
Oh, right. Yeah. I have a real crush on the woman who Hermione turns into.
She...
Something about that kind of woman that is at that age and is often cast in that kind of role.
Oh.
There would often be like 90s, like British, like sitcoms.
Yeah, like Coupling or something.
Yeah, or like Cold Feet, that kind of vibe. But I don't know, something about it.
Huh.
Yeah.
I thought they were well cast, the three of them, these three actors.
I thought they were really good. The guy who played Ron.
Yeah.
I thought he was excellent.
I like the little horny beetle toys that he uses to distract.
Oh yeah, they're cool. Very cool.
They reminded me of those You've Been Tangoed, like things that you used to get back in the day, like promotional giveaways. It was like, I can't remember. Yeah.
I remember the You've Been Tangoed branding.
Yeah.
The ad with the orange man. They have to slow down the video to see him because he runs past in a flash.
I remember that used to scare me a little bit.
Yeah, because he was really creepy and like proper mental.
Do you remember the Nike ad with the belly's gonna get ya?
Yeah. That was disgusting.
Yeah. Belly's gonna get ya. Yeah, fucking hell.
It was just a giant belly, like, blobbing down the street after people.
I mean, you guys seem to be disgusted. I liked it.
I could fill a shoebox with the cum I've wasted to that advert.
That belly button.
Oh, God. Imelda Staunton was good in this, I thought.
What, because she didn't say anything? No, she was, sorry. She,
Umbridge.
Absolutely.
Umbridge.
Yeah.
Umbridge.
Dolores.
So in the fucking ministry, in the, another, like, a pacing thing, in the bit where he reveals himself to fucking Umbridge, where, like, he takes out his wand and then she's like, what are you doing? And then he's like, something.
I must not tell. One must never tell.
Yeah, but it takes him, like, three sentences to get to that as he slowly transforms. And no one fucking does anything, and he manages to stun her. And I was like, that wouldn't fucking happen.
It's too early.
Yeah, it's like, it goes nothing like that in the book. Like, he stuns her literally, like, as soon as he can. And it takes, like, fucking 30 seconds to get through this transformation and speech that he gives her.
Yeah.
And I was like, that wouldn't, like, she would have fucking, one of the security personnel would have fucking, like, taken him out by then.
Absolutely.
He starts looking like Harry Potter at, like, the start of the transformation. It's not like 20
seconds. It's creepy
seconds.
As hell as well.
I thought it's pretty bad, CGI.
It could be better. It is a bit ropey, by.
I mean, it's a nice standards. Like revenge line, I suppose, but it sacrifices any sense of like realism.
But he's already had the satisfaction. He's already had that satisfaction.
That exact line.
Exact line.
At the end of film five, yeah.
Yeah, number five. He's like, when she gets carried away by the centaurs or trolls, I can't remember.
But. Yeah, and he's like, tell them I mean them no harm. Yeah. He's like, sorry, Professor, I must not tell lies.
Yeah, and it's, I love that moment, because like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, that feels good. But now that he's just saying it again, you're like, oh, come up with something new, Harry, fuck's sake.
Yeah, it's all a bit shit and stupid.
Shit and or stupid.
This film.
Yeah, that's my review on the back of J.K. Rowling's dust jacket. Oh, God. So, yeah, they fucking try and get back to Grimmauld Place and it all goes Pete's tongue. They end up in a forest.
Yeah.
Which I like. And I'm like, this is nice actually not going to Hogwarts. I'm fucking fed up of Hogwarts' bullshit.
Yeah. I like them
that place, man. It's been giving me shit 6 years.
Fucks me off.
Yeah, I kind of like all the forest stuff. I thought, like, I don't know, I like all the colours of the leaves. But again, I thought that Hermione was really... She says some lines in this bit especially, which are a bit, like, should have been shit, but I thought she fucking handled them all, like, really well.
Yeah.
I was like, well done. Also, I'm just thinking, so they took all the clothes off of those three, like, workers. But are they all just in like their bra and like pants and stuff by the dustbin still?
They're in like vests and like homely undergarments.
Okay. Yeah.
Like the long socks with the like sock suspenders and stuff, I think.
I've always thought they were really cool.
So they'll fit right in Soho.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah. So they put up protective charms and they put up a tent.
Yeah.
And kind of we get fucking tent action for 20 minutes.
Yeah, this line slightly confuses me where she says, you know, she's standing at the edge of the barrier and then one of them goes, as if he can smell her.
Yeah.
And it's a good scene, but it's like, why is she wearing perfume in the forest?
I thought that as well, as if she would be putting on perfume every day living in a tent in a forest like that. Just,
that's the kind of thing that I would do. I often just like, I'll just like put it on because it makes me feel like I feel better,
I guess.
So that's something that I would.
Do you think it's something Hermione would do though?
Yeah.
Oh, well, actually, maybe.
With Ron.
Yeah, maybe she's trying to get.
She can't wash her hands every day, so she's like spray here, spray here. Yeah. Make it smell like.
Derriere. I just said derriere. I was like, wait, you want to make it smell like your ass?
I want my mange to smell like my ass. And what happens?
See, when they come back and like Ron's all like sees them all together because Harry's like, "Oh, I don't fucking wear perfume down there again. It gives me an itch." And Ron's like, "He's taken aback to say the least."
Takes it in the
back. Yeah. But this film, this is the part of the film which Gifton was talking about earlier that feels like it could be sped up a bit. And I've not watched a Twilight film, but I feel like this is probably what watching a Twilight film is like.
I will say, so the Twilight, the weird thing with the Twilight films is that the shit books made the best films because they handled them more like deftly, I think. And so they do a better job of sort of. Put this way, there's one bit in a Twilight film where she's on her own for like a whole fucking like season, and instead of fucking taking us through the motions, they just do a lovely like circular like sort of like a panning motion of her in her chair sort of like looking emotional while like the seasons change outside the window and stuff, and it's really nice. And
wait, Kristen Stewart,
huh?
Looking emotional.
I know, I was surprised too. Maybe
it's CGI. Yeah.
It wasn't Kristen Stewart in that scene. They put in Emma Thompson for that.
Yeah, they used her emotion double.
Yeah. Oh, maybe part of this film did end up in Twilight.
Yeah. But yeah, like it takes care of all that kind of stuff so quickly. And like they could have just done. I mean, I didn't mind it, but like, yeah, it takes too fucking long to get through shit.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's, yeah, it could just be cut down. You can condense, like, I think fans probably,
they
don't want to speak for fans,
what?
But, like, you could probably merge certain scenes and have two things happen. Like, I can, it feels like they are trying to let it breathe, but it's like, come on, this film's 2 hours and 30 minutes or whatever, 225. But,
yeah, like, do you know what, if Ron had just had the fight with them when they came back from the perfume
exactly,
bit,
yeah.
That would have cut out good a example. Whole huge chunk.
Yeah. And it wouldn't have lost. You wouldn't have lost anything other than gain some pacing.
Yeah.
I like the little bit where they're walking. I have backtracked slightly, but I just thought nice bit of filmmaking where they're sort of traversing the fields and it's like a montage, and the radio's playing over the top.
I thought that was nice.
And it's kind of narrating what's going on. It's like finally some film craft where there's more than one thing happening at the same time.
So I didn't like that when they fucking hide in a barn and all the fucking smoky people were like flying overhead. I was like, that wouldn't
happen. Yeah, yeah,
were they what,
like they're hiding in a barn at one point and Death Eaters are like flying across the sky.
Oh, are they?
Yeah,
I thought you said they hired in a bard.
Shut up, they're going to hear us.
Put the fucking loot away.
No, don't get out the bagpipes.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah. So they have a fight and then fucking Ron fucks off.
Yeah, and they go to Godric's Hollow.
Yeah.
And Batilda comes up and gets a little bit snaky. Frosted flaky.
Fuck off.
Couldn't think. I was trying to think of something else that rhymes
sure
with eggs and bacon.
Made like a Frosty's joke in the fucking episode we did here.
Did did we?
I remember us going, they're great.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. Batilda Bagshot.
Ah, yeah, right,
Batilda
okay.
Batilda Bagshot.
Batilda Bagshot.
Batilda.
I'd love it if every time she appeared, a bit of dub reggae went in the background.
Oh, that would have made this infinitely better. Fucking hell. This whole bit I thought was dumb. And then the fact that Voldemort... Because in the book, Voldemort shows up when they like apparate through the window. So they miss him by like seconds. It's really like tense and shit.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
I was like, well, I didn't...
Yeah. Yeah.
Alas. I keep getting the urge to say spoon bag. And I'm like...
Yeah, they, because obviously she fucks them over, the snake comes, blah, blah, blah. And there's a bit where they see like a bloody room or yeah. something. What is that blood?
It's meant to be her blood from whatever killed her.
Oh, yeah. See, that isn't obvious.
Yeah, I don't think it's in the, is it in the, I don't think it's in the book that there's blood on the ceiling.
No, I think it's just spooky movie ambiance.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I thought that.
Or some... maybe she just...
Oh, no! You bad man.
I thought those days were gone, but there's life in the old bag.
They come back in, like, they fight off the snake, they come back in, Harry's there, just like, tea anyone? And he's like, dipping an old tampon in a teacup.
Oh, fuck, it wouldn't even be a tampon for her, it'd be like, I don't know, a dead mouse or something.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, it probably would be. What were used before tampons were used?
Nothing. You just sat in a bucket.
You got put in the stocks. Probably. It's fucking... Oh,
you hid it. You hid the shame or be burned as a witch.
Exactly.
Oh, God. Wow.
Fucking hell. Write into poorlyread@gmail.com. What happened before tampons? Don't cut that future. Future... Future Tom and Gifton, don't cut that.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, so...
Right, then what happens? Then they go back, oh, we
Forrest
get the...
Dean.
Yeah, think. Forrest, yeah. Spooky dough and spooky sword.
Yeah, I was expecting this dough to take a shit. Or at least I really wanted it to.
Just as it's walking along, just...
Yeah. That would have been so nice because it'd been like spooky, like ghost poo.
Yeah,
yeah.
It'd been like pretty little like pebbles on the floor.
Exactly.
Like, Ron, no, like,
Is it Easter? Oh yeah, and some Harry Potter and Hermione winching, proper winching.
Winching.
Yeah, what's winching?
That's a Scottish term. Sorry. So yeah, winching. It's just like when you go, like you. Full on making out with someone, like you winch. Oh, check him winching in the corner over there. Like they're just like noshing each other's faces off.
Noshing,
yeah. lovely bit of Scottish Scots language.
I like that. What a term.
Yeah.
Okay.
Heavy winching.
So this whole, I much prefer this in the book. This scene I thought was.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think I now that I've watched the film, I think I agree.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think it was very well like described in the book. It's not as like grand as this in the book at all.
Oh, so okay.
It was a really nice sort of like depiction of what happens and stuff.
Yeah.
And it just looks better, I think.
In your head.
In my head.
This was a moment where I stopped and was like, "We are a long way from Harry Potter 1, the movie." Like this is.
God, yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
I don't know what it was, maybe about like the production value of it, like what the general like ambience of the scene, the color palette, and the seriousness of like Ron go mental seeing Harry and Hermione winching. And it just felt like a different... Yeah, just a completely different tone to the first one, which yeah. is just like, oh, we better go get to the Chamber of Secrets. Oh, no, sorry, the Philosopher's Stone. But yeah, you know what I mean? It felt like...
Yeah,
it
they
felt
don't
like
have,
there was an evolution.
There's in the first film when they're all 11, there's no Harry and Hermione topless getting off with each other. Can confirm.
I can't remember what happens after this. I go back to the 10 and then fucking yeah. Hermione's like, give me my wand.
That's it. Reductio, whatever the fuck.
Yeah, and Ron's like, oh, fucking this ball of light and it fucking came in my hand.
Just went off. Yeah.
But yeah, that's the bit where I was like, oh, mate, if you were just really like gone for that, I reckon it would have not been so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. And then finally something actually happens and they go to Lovegood.
Yeah.
Yeah, why should they go to the Love House?
Because Hermione's all like, I want to visit Xenophilius Lovegood. Because he was wearing because of the symbol and something else.
Yes, I've got a scratch, then he can itch. Or the other way around.
The image of her like going around just with a scratchy finger. Yeah, it's not just that though, is it? It's like the snitch as well, or is that unrelated? Because Harry has that moment where he's like, oh, the snitch does something.
Yeah, that's like
that's also a great impression.
No, it's just to do with the symbol because Xenophilius is wearing a fucking pendant of it
at the wedding.
He's like yeah. hippie clothes.
That's right. And yeah, we finally find out what the fucking Deathly Hallows is.
Yeah, but yeah, they get to Xenophilius Lovegood. Yeah. What I found funny was he goes, I assume you're all familiar with the tale of the three brothers. And the two of them say yes, and Harry says no. And then Hermione goes, oh, I've got it here. And then starts reading completely unprompted.
That's a... Oh, that's so good. I totally didn't catch that.
God, yeah, if that was real, you would be like, what?
Yeah,
what
oh, are you going to sit and read the whole fucking thing? Like, Harry, yeah. Hey, we're going to go back to the tent. Harry can read it.
Yeah. You would, yeah, you're right. It would be like, okay, basically, there's this one thing, a second thing, and a third thing. You're the master of death.
They could brief over. Everyone else there has read it.
Exactly.
Be like, Harry, this is basically what happens.
Here's the book.
Read it tonight in the tent.
Yeah, because like, yeah, the realistic thing is like, yeah, like Hermione would be like, if Harry would be like, oh, I haven't read it, and then Hermione would be like, I'll tell you about it later. What's like, what about the tale of the three brothers? And he'd be like, well, the
yeah, exactly.
Thing
yeah. They're about to get an explanation of the Deathly Hallows, and then it's like, well, I assume you're familiar with this story. Three out of four of them are, and then rather than proceed with the yeah. with the explanation of the Deathly Hallows, there's no okay, let's stop and read the entire story.
Yeah,
yeah, is there no urgency in what we're doing whatsoever?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but saying that, this is my favourite bit of all the Harry Potter films.
I mean, the animation's
it's
awesome.
Lovely. Yeah. It is.
It's just it's fun. I don't. I mean, because I say this a lot to Tom, but when I see really like awesome things, when something's done with so much fucking like talent and things like that, I get really like emotional. And that was the one. What bit? It was when like the brother hung himself and the death like pulled him out, and I was like, oh, that's so fucking amazing. And I started crying.
But yeah, I did too. I was like, this is so shit. No, the movie. You're right. This section is actually lovely.
The sex scene is actually incredible. I thought that was what you said for a second.
The sex scene.
Because I regret. So I wonder though if like, because this is the kind of thing which you would have like cut down. But I wonder if when they got the finished product back, they were like, this is too like too good to chop anything out.
Absolutely
of
right.
So they just kept it.
You almost read my mind there.
Because it is like, if it was any less good, you would think, oh, they could have just cut this down to like fucking 20 seconds. But because it's so fucking amazing, the fact you see it in its entirety, because she tells the entire story.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's like, you wouldn't get that in a film, I think, unless it was that special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show.
And I wish all the Harry Potter films were just done like that.
Yeah.
Well, with just like Emma Watson narrating the story.
Ah, oh, yeah, but only not book one, Emma Watson.
Yeah, book seven, Emma Watson.
So once upon a time, there were three brothers. It's like, God.
It's like tying
in. They were wizards.
Yeah, one was gay, one was black, and one was a Jew. What do you think?
Oh, wow.
No,
put them all on the train, obviously.
Oh, fuck yeah. And the guys in like in the recording booth are like, Emma. This is fucking like 11-year-old Emma was.
Yeah, and then they get it's attacked by the Death Eaters, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. And then they all
They get snatched
by
the Snatchers.
Yeah, because yeah. they
by the Minchers.
They get minged by the Minchers.
Oh god!
It would be a better film if they were called the Minchers.
Well, just like a giant minge, like in the NICAD.
Just jumping along, swallowing up buildings.
Oh my god!
Swallowing up children.
Oh fuck!
Oh yeah, no, they escape. The Death is seen.
That's
they,
right. And they escape, you know,
and then they disapparate in amongst a load of snatches.
But then they get, yeah, that's right.
And then
into,
they get snatched. They definitely could have just disapparated again.
Yeah.
Because they've literally just apparated into that space. So why didn't they just go, oh shit, bang, gone again?
Why did she write it like this?
Yeah, why not just like have the Death Eaters at like Lovegood's place, disfigure him for real, and then they disapparate to a spot where the Death Eaters are like, the Snatchers are like, oh, I don't know if that's Harry Potter or not, but we'll take him just in case. He cuts out all the horse shit.
He's had his eyes spooned out.
Oh, fucking hell. So, like, they all go to Malfoy Manor, and we get fucking things.
We get things.
We get things
and
stuff.
People.
Yes, we get Bellatrix.
Yeah, which is Bella what?
Bella Minge.
Bella Tits.
Bella Tits Le
Minge.
Bella Tits Le Minge. So yeah, Bella Tits Le Minge does the first. I feel like this is the first thing. Obviously, yes, she killed Sirius in the whatever movie, but.
Yeah.
I feel like she's doing more in this than she's done in any of the previous.
That's kind of like that in the books,
behind.
Though. She kind of has the most screen time in the books as well.
Fair
in
enough.
In this like, whole book.
Because I was really worried. I was like, they've cast a really good actress. I hope they get her to do something.
I think she was just happy to be there.
But yeah, this is this whole scene in Malfoy Manor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't. I'm not enthralled by it at all.
It's kind of, I don't know, is it better in the book? It's kind of the same, I think, in the book.
I guess so. It's kind of the same, but I feel more invested when I'm reading the book. But I think that's just the nature of the books being generally more enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, it all kind of plays out the same.
Yeah. Although, an important distinction is that when Dobby takes away Luna and Love and Ollivander, and then and he says, meet me at the top of the stairs in 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. Well, as it happens, they're able to do that because Wormtail comes down and they overpower him and he leaves the door
Dobby
open.
Dobby zaps him from behind.
Dobby zaps him from behind. Did Dobby know Wormtail was going to be coming down the steps?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Otherwise, how would they have got to the top of the steps?
I thought I'd missed
They were in a locked cell.
Well, I guess Dobby was going to open it.
But he just meet me at the top of the steps.
Yeah, so maybe when he apparated there, he apparated as Wormtail was already going down in front of him. So he's like,
maybe. So he sees the plan. Just seems a weird thing to do.
Wormtail like, was going down in front of him.
They're in a locked cell and they can't get out.
Also,
and they need Dobby to help them get out. And he's
Harry,
like,
yeah. Can you take us all to Shell Cottage? And if you get a minute, can you come back and get out? Yeah. Yeah, so this whole scene happens and takes fucking ages yet
it
again.
Does. Yeah.
And Dobby has a whole speech in which time fucking someone could have done something.
Like, yeah, something. I guess none of them have wands, do
just
they?
Just pick up a fucking iron poker. Good enough. Wizard can channel his magic through anything. Yeah. I can just do it. And so when she fucking threw the knife and it took, I was like, they started apparating before she even like threw the thing. So the fact it happened to take like 20 fucking seconds for like the mist to enclose them and that shit, I was like, okay.
I know. Mm-hmm. It's like, is it like with bullet time and people jump in front of bullets? Yeah. Like the gun fires, the bullet comes out, and then someone goes, no!
So yeah, this whole bit on the beach is like a lot more like intense than it is in the book.
Oh, yeah.
And like, fucking he's like, Hermione, give me the dick, and then she's like, no.
Yeah, they just stare at him like, oh, he's dying, is he?
Yeah, because I was like, yeah, he's got a fucking like a stab wound, he's not dead, you've got magic, you can save him.
Yeah, yeah.
But everyone's like, oh no.
No, Harry, this is the point where Dobby dies.
Have you not read the book?
Yeah.
It is bleak, though. It's interesting.
Just that bit of him, like, standing on the shore, like, in, like, his trainers, holding his stomach.
Yeah.
That shot is so, like, oh, fuck.
It's like Saving Private Ryan.
I've not seen Saving Private Ryan.
Ugh. It's fine.
See, yeah, they close his eyes. Daniel Radcliffe does his best.
I'm just saying something. No, he's fine.
He's fine with a capital F.
Yeah.
And a period after that. He's in a full stop, not a befuddled backstroke. See, fucking Voldemort breaks into a tomb, fucking
steals Dumbledore's beads.
Yeah, I was wondering what this. It does look like he's having sex with that corpse.
Yeah, it
absolutely does look like he's just missionarying Dumbledore's cold cadaver.
Michael Gambon's dick as well.
But this tomb seems really
IKEA,
really out of place. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, like it's out of place. It seems
just ostentatiously on the Hogwarts grounds, like it will be there forever. No other tombs.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all it just seems way out of place. And I'm wondering if anything is explained in the book or if any descriptions given in the book.
It's a different shape in the book, but that's it.
Right.
Anyway, are we wrapped
up? All right, that's it then, I suppose, isn't it?
Well, thank you for joining us. Come back next week, guys, for more fucking thrilling tales.
Fucking thrilling tales.
Yeah, in the meantime, though, sign up to our Patreon. $3.99 a month. You get 2 episodes a month from our Patreon-only series, Poorly Read at the Movies, where we give the Poorly Read treatment to your favourite films. Do it. It's a really good way of supporting us and showing your love and fandom for all the hard work we put in to this show that fucking gets you off.
Yeah, another good way of showing support. Going getting some fucking merch.
I've got some merch.
Dan's got some merch.
I've got Constance Friction Fries, Constance Vigilance, Poorly Reader notebook, and it is my new favourite thing. And it is fantastic.
Head over to poorlyread.redbubble.com and go and grab yourself some fucking merch.
Check us out on our socials, Instagram and Twitter at poorlyreadpod. Yeah, and then email us for tings at poorlyread@gmail.com. Oh, give us 5 stars on the Apple Podcast app.
I did. It cured my cystitis.
Oh, that forever do. I've been Gifted.
And I've been Tom.
And I've been Dan.
And Hagrid hasn't been Hagrid this film, thank God.
Not yet.
Well, he was a bit of a hairy biker, but yeah. Okay.
Anyway, bye.
Yeah. Bye.